In grayscale windowing, you can include mapping of a range of interests, just as I described now. If the image FMN has a very large range, such as minus 1,000 to plus 1,000 in a CT image, or if you have an image with an 8-bit per pixel range, 0 to 255, but there is only a small part within that that is occupied by the details of interest, you could take this range of interest and map it to the full range of the output device. The output device could have a range of, let us say, 8 bits per pixel. You can display only 256 shades of gray. The input image may have 2,000 shades of gray, as in CT image. You cannot display 2,000 shades of gray on your system, so you take a certain range from there and spread it over the range that is available in the display, or map it in a linear manner in this case. You could also do it non-linearly if you wish. There are other transforms. So the range that is selected, which is F1 to F2, could be a small part of the dynamic range of the input image, beyond which there may or may not exist other items of interest. So the output will contain a stretched version, a linearly stretched version of the values between F1 and F2. All values below F1 will be set to 0, all values above F2 will be set to equal to 1, and then you multiply the whole thing by 255, so you will get values between 0 and 255, if your output display device has 8 bits per pixel. Most display devices have 8 bits per pixel in grayscale. So you would convert this to 8 bits by multiplying by 255 and rounding off to integers as necessary. So values less than F1 would be set to 0 and removed from the image. And values between F1 and F2 are linearly mapped, FMN minus F1 divided by F2 minus F1. So the range of this will be between 0 and 1. And after F2, the values are equal to 1. So this is a fairly simple operation, which we have used here in the case of the CT image. In part A, we took the range minus 200 to 400. So the range is 601 in Hounsfield units and compressed to the range 0 to 255. Here it was from 0 to 400 Hounsfield units. Zero is an important reference because it is the value for water in CT images. So water is used as a reference for the classification of tissue and fluids in the body. And with zero as the limit, you're only extracting those that are denser than water. And here we went up to 400. So in both cases, the range of the input values entering the transformation is more or wider than the range of the output device, 0 to 255. It need not be so. We could select a narrower range. So F1 to F2 is the range of the original gray level values to be displayed in the output image. And what will happen in this transformation is that range will be displayed with increased contrast and latitude, depending upon how you select that range. So here is a part of a chest X-ray image that I had shown earlier. And the histogram of this image is shown here, going from 0 to 255. That's the histogram of this image. And there are two linear transformations I have used. One is the dashed line here, going from 0 to 0.6 in normalized grayscale. And the second one is from 0.2 up to 0.7, I believe. Yeah. So in the first case, all values greater than 0.6 will be saturated. In the second case, all values greater than 0.7 will be saturated. And also, all values less than 0.2 will be set to 0. That is what you see here. Okay, this is the chest image. This is mapping 0 to 0.6, and part C is mapping 0.2 to 0.7. So in the third case, you see some of the low density tissue that you see here is missing, but you can see some high density material with more detail, better contrast. So depending upon which part or range of the image you wish to examine in more detail, you could select an appropriate part and stretch the range to display. Earlier I had shown you this image, the image of a myocyte, and it's quite dull because the part of the image that is of interest occupies a very narrow range of the histogram, which is this. So if I take only that range and stretch it to the full range, I can expect a better display of the object. The pixel values from 0 to about 60 are not occupied much at all. Similarly, beyond 150 to 255, there are not many pixels using those values. So by stretching a certain range, let me go back here, I chose the range 0.2 to 0.6. So 0.2 of 255, that's about, let's say, 50 or 50 something, to 0.6. That is the range I use to stretch, and you can see the details within this myocyte a little better. Some of the background details in the particular slide preparation, or in the preparation of this specimen, not a slide, but the specimen, I've also seen here. But the object itself has been enhanced for visualization. Of course, all values below 0.2 have been set to 0, and all values above 0.6 have been set equal to 1. So there is some clipping at the low level and saturation at the higher level. Now, this is what I mean by ad hoc, where we don't know what exactly needs to be done. We don't know what went wrong here, but we could try different methods to stretch this image or to manipulate the image to make it look a little better. Now, should the lower cutoff be 0.2 or 0.25 or 0.3? I don't know. Should the higher level be 0.8 or 0.5? We don't know. We just try different values. And also, should it be linear or nonlinear? That's another question. There are many options available. On a practical device, if you can make it interactive, the user could possibly manipulate the display and then choose one that looks the best for that application. These techniques for stretching are linear or piecewise linear. Linear within the range of interest or specified, and outside that, they're also linear. Let me go back there. There is a linear portion, and then there is another linear portion. So you could say this is piecewise linear with three pieces. But on the whole, it is not linear. But you could also use nonlinear transformations to perform what is called gamma correction. I showed this plot earlier, where the transfer curve, or HD curve, of a detector could have a linear portion and then nonlinear parts. You may wish to make a correction to the data in certain parts of this curve. You may want to try to make the entire curve linear by compensating for the nonlinearity, or you may want to modify the values of an image to enhance certain parts of the image produced by such a system to either compensate or correct for the original transfer function or simply change it. The term gamma correction refers to specific manipulation of the data acquired from an imaging device with a known characteristic to make the transfer function linear. So you could call it linearization of the transfer function by affecting or changing the slope of this or transfer function characteristic. But in general, gamma transformation is simply applying a nonlinear correction or transfer function to the image to change the contrast in selected parts of the image and to reduce some detail visibility and increase some detail visibility in different parts of the range of the data. So the term gamma is used in the context of the transfer function. A system with large gamma, large slope, will have high contrast but may not use the full dynamic range. That is, the latitude will be small, whereas small gamma will have poor contrast but wide latitude. Now you want to correct for that, and then you can use some nonlinear transformation. Gamma correction methods are typically nonlinear methods where you have the output equal to the input raised to the power of some gamma. Now to do this, FMN is typically normalized to be in the range 0 to 1. You divide by the maximum and then convert the values to be between 0 and 1. So when you raise it to some power, regardless of what that power is, as long as it is not negative, the values will remain between 0 and 1, and then you can remap it to the display range by multiplying by 255 if you're dealing with an 8-bit system. There is another formulation which says you take the log, exponential log, and divide by gamma, and then that could give you equivalent results depending upon how you specify gamma. You could also incorporate grayscale windowing and then reject values less than or greater than some limits. So here are some examples of nonlinear enhancement or mapping of the chest X-ray image. So this is the original image, and part B, gamma is equal to 0.3, and part C, gamma is equal to 2. So different ranges of grayscale in the image will be enhanced depending upon whether gamma is less than 1 or greater than 1. I'll show you the transfer function and come back. The dotted line is just doing nothing. Output is equal to input. The dashed line is gamma equal to 2. Now this is with the image values scaled so that they are between 0 and 1. So this is output equal to input squared. The other one is gamma equal to 0.3. So this is output is equal to input raised to the power of 0.3. So if you were to consider the slope of these transfer curves or transfer functions, you see that the slope here is low and it increases, and the slope is higher for gamma equal to 2 for higher pixel values. So stretched, lower pixel values will be compressed by gamma equal to 2. The opposite happens here with gamma equal to 0.3, where the slope is higher for small values and lower slope for higher values. So high density will be compressed and low density will be expanded when gamma is less than 1. So that is what you see here. There is saturation of the other part. So low level or low density tissue will be enhanced here. You can see the structure of the details of the low density structures here. On the other hand, in the image in C, the low density structures have been almost reduced to be invisible. The higher density structures are seen better. If you look at the vertebral column, you can see them better here. The details of the vertebral column are better seen in part C than in part B. Higher density structures have been saturated in this part B. So depending upon which part of the image you want to examine in detail, you could enhance that part by using an appropriate nonlinear gamma transformation. And of course, you could apply multiple such transformations and get many of these processed images to view different parts of the image one at a time. But there is no limit here as to the number of transformations you could apply or number of output images you could get. The limit would be computational time and the practical time of the investigator as to how many images the investigator is willing to analyze. In a clinical situation, it would not be practical to give 20 images of each radiograph or mammogram process to the radiologist, because the radiologist wouldn't have that much time to analyze or interpret a large number of images. In a research study, that would be possible, but in a clinical situation where there are time constraints and there is cost involved, you would have to reduce the number of processed images that you would supply to the user. But that could be established in a research or investigative study, and then finally, for a practical use or clinical application, you could say this is the best process image for that particular application. Okay, let us look at histogram techniques. In histogram manipulation, you apply a certain transformation based upon the histogram, which includes the counts of the various pixel values or gray levels or intensity or density values in your image. The image histogram is normalized and interpreted as a probability density function. And using principles of statistical information theory, we noted earlier that the maximal information is conveyed when the entropy is maximum, and that is the case when the PDF is uniform. When all events are in an image, gray levels are equally likely, you would have the possibility of maximal information or entropy in a statistical sense. It might not be the best image in many cases. It may not be the prettiest looking image in many cases, but statistically speaking, that image conveys maximal information. So the technique of histogram equalization is based upon this statistical principle that says, get the histogram of the image and make it flat, and then apply a transformation to the image to achieve that histogram and take a look at that image. The representation of histogram equalization is as follows. So let's take an image FMN with M by N pixels and L gray levels, and the histogram is PF of L. That is simply obtained by counting the number of occurrences of each gray level L. Normalize the histogram and get the gray levels as R equal to L over L minus 1. So the gray levels have also now changed to be between 0 and 1, as we saw just now in the case of gamma correction. So gray levels are now R between 0 and 1, and let small p of R be the normalized histogram or PDF of the image, where the capital P indicated the counts of the gray levels, and small p is capital P divided by number of pixels, MN. So both the counts and the gray level are normalized to be between 0 and 1. Now you can apply a transformation to the PDF in the range 0 to 1 for both axes. When you apply a transformation S equal to TR to the random variable R, the random variable R represents the gray level that is normalized. The PDF of the output that we will call S is given by P of S. The subscript G indicates the output image, G. Is PF of R, F is the input image and R is the input gray level variable, multiplied with the derivative dr over ds at R equal to T inverse S. Now this relationship is from statistics. When you have studied, or when you studied many years ago PDFs, you would have seen that when you apply a transformation to a random variable, the output PDF is the input PDF multiplied with the derivative of the transformation. I won't prove that here, but you could refer to some other books for the proof. The output image GMN now will have values between 0 and 1 that we will call S. Now, we want the output histogram to be equal to 1. So going back to this formula, we see that PG will be equal to 1 when dr over ds is equal to 1 divided by pf. So if the derivative is the inverse of the given PD, given histogram or normalized histogram, then PG, the output, is equal to 1 always. So what we want is a transformation such that the derivative is equal to 1 divided by that PDF. So consider this transformation, S equal to TR equal to the integral of PF. And W here is a temporary variable. And this is why we need the subscript to indicate which PDF we are talking about for R between 0 and 1. Now this is simply the integral of the PDF, or in the discrete case, it is the cumulative distribution function, CDF, or it is also known as the probability distribution function. Now, some authors call it probability distribution, which is the integral of the probability density function. Now, they both abbreviate to PDF, and the distinction between density and distribution is a little confusing. So I prefer cumulative distribution function, which abbreviates to CDF, and there are several authors who call this integrated function as the cumulative distribution function, which is a better term. So we have a function now which is the integral of the PDF, of a PDF. And there are some properties of TR. TR is single valued and monotonically increasing over the interval 0 to 1, because the PDF can only have positive values and no negative values. It has to be monotonically increasing, and assuming that it is a continuous function, the input PDF is continuous, then you have a single valued function. In practice, there will be some limitations that I'll show later. This condition is necessary to maintain black to white transition between the original and processed images. You don't want the transfer function to go backwards. You don't want reversal of gray levels. The output TR is between 0 and 1 for R being between 0 and 1, because the sum of the entire integral of the PDF, of any PDF, is equal to 1. So the integral of the PDF up to a certain point has to be less than 1. This is required to maintain the same range of values in the input and output images. If the input is between 0 and 1, the output should also be between 0 and 1. Then the derivative ds over dr is pfr. So in the original we had dr over ds, and now we have formulated s equal to this function. The derivative ds over dr, the derivative of this integral, is simply what is being integrated. So ds over dr is pfr. So when you apply that to the first expression, we see that the output PDF is equal to 1 for all S, regardless of what PFR is, as long as it is a PDF and satisfies these conditions. So the output histogram is always flat, regardless of the input histogram, if the transformation is the integral of the given PDF. So TR equalizes the histogram for the given image. The output PDF will be uniform or flat. A uniform PDF has maximal entropy, so we are maximizing the information content of the output image in this statistical sense. Now, in practice, there are some issues. The discrete version of histogram equalization will bring out these issues. So consider a digital image FMN with P equal to MN pixels and L gray levels, and the gray level is now quantized. The previous expression was with continuous variables. Now we have discrete RK, K going 0, 1, 2, 3, L minus 1. The gray level has been quantized, and we can only normalize it to be between 0 and 1, but these values are discrete, and there are only nk of them. I mean, each one of them has nk occurrences. That's the histogram. The PDF may be approximated by this histogram. PFRK is nk divided by P. P is the number of pixels, so you normalize the histogram. for k going 0 to l minus 1. So there are L levels, but now the values have been changed. Rather than being 0, 1, 2, 3, 255, there'll be 0, 1 divided by 255, 2 divided by 255, and so on. Or could be, yeah, that's correct. The histogram equalizing transformation is the integral of the PDF. Now, instead of the integral, you take the sum of the normalized histogram. So SK, the output variable for the kth output level is, or kth gray level, is TRK, which is the integral, but now written as a summation, I going 0 to K, PFRI. That is, simply add up the normalized histogram values for the input image up to and including the kth level, and that value, which has to be less than 1, is the output value. SK for the kth gray level. And that is, this is simply the histogram here, normalized. So do that for all k going 0 to L minus 1. That is the transformation. So discrete histogram transformation is this expression. The problem is that the values of SK will not be all equal to the quantized gray levels. 0, 1 divided by 255, 2 divided by 255, and so on. Because you are adding values of this probability, which could be anything. So you have to now quantize the output or map it to the nearest allowed gray level, and the values have to go through that modification. So because of this modification, the output histogram will not be flat or uniform anymore, because values are being rebinned or binned into only L levels. So the resulting values in the range 0 to 1 have to be quantized to the allowed levels and then mapped to 0 to 255 for the display device. Now the multiplication by 255 is not important. The important point is that the values of the transformed variable need to be quantized or mapped to the nearest allowed gray level. And that causes some problems. Histogram equalization is usually implemented via a lookup table. LUT is a lookup table that will list SK-RK pairs as given by this equation. For a given RK input level, what is SK, the output level? So make a lookup table and then apply it. And it's a very fast process after you have computed it. A quantized histogram equalizing transformation may contain many to one gray level mappings. That is because of rebinning of the output levels to the closest levels that are available in the quantized representation. So this renders the transformation non-unique and irreversible. There'll be many to one segments that I'll show in a moment in some examples. So here is an example. This is an image given by one of my grad students, Bill Morrow, whom I mentioned earlier. One of his daughters is sitting inside a snow cave. In Alberta, in the winter, it is awfully cold. It could be awfully cold, but it's typically very bright. Even if it is minus 30, minus 40 degrees, there could be blue sky and bright sunlight. So when you go skiing or go outdoors in the winter, the snow will be reflecting a lot of light, a lot of sunlight, and it will be very bright. So even in the winter, minus 30 degrees, you will need your sunglasses. And a camera that takes a picture in such a situation may tend to give you overexposed parts in some regions and underexposed parts in some other regions, because the camera will sense the overall light in that region that you're trying to focus. And if it includes very bright parts and very dark parts, the resulting averaged exposure is not good for either part. So we have here the girl who is inside, not visible at all. Even if you change the light level, it will remain the same.